plug in there, folks. So I was having a few pints with a friend recently, and we were talking about censorship, online censorship especially, and the general clampdown on free speech. And it's not something that I've actually got into that much, but the conversation led to a funny, in a sort of funny direction. And we ended up wondering, because if you go back 10 years, the big thing on the internet and off the internet, but the big thing in general was the 9/11 truther movement. The idea that 9/11, which brought down the World Trade Center, the attacks were an inside job. And if you go on YouTube today, you can still see that all of that material is still available. It's all there. With millions of hits. I did a quick search, and Loose Change, the second part, has got something like 500,000 hits because it's gone off the boil. But the original and Stuff by Alex Jones was in millions upon millions of hits. And the people got rich off this. People were writing books and holding conferences. And as soon as you get into this, I know what people are going to say. They're going to say that a lot of it were shills, and they were misdirecting people from the real culprit. So let's say the average conspiracy theory or Alex Jones, they were talking about the Illuminati, or they were talking about the Saudis or something. They weren't talking about some of the more ethnic aspects to the neocon movement or whatever plans Israel had in the Middle East, or the neoconservative plans in the 90s. Which did actually lay out that they needed some sort of Pearl Harbor event in order to enact new conservative foreign policy in earnest. But nevertheless, what the interesting thing is, people were still coming out and saying that the American government, the CIA, the Pentagon, whoever, were all actively complicit in mass murdering American citizens on American soil. And this, as far as undermining the public trust is concerned, about peddling a sort of destructive conspiracy theory, from the perspective of the elites, you can hardly imagine something being worse than that. And it did grew legs, and it spread like wildfire. As I say, and yet, I mean, just a Rasmussen poll said that in 2007... according to a press release, overall 22% of all voters believe the president knew about the attacks in advance. A slightly larger number, 29%, believe the CIA knew about the attacks in advance. So this is the thing, even if we take into account that they were misdirecting people, the theory, the idea that the American government had committed an act of mass murder on its own soil against its own people was like, it spread like wildfire, to the point where you had really sizable percentages of the population actually believed it, even if they didn't know the wider conspiracies, or you know, so some of the tangled web of Middle Eastern politics and so on. Just the idea that the American government would murder its own citizens. And now the crucial thing here is that the government itself, or this elite, didn't seem to do anything about this idea being spread all over the place. They didn't seem to care that 22% of all voters thought the president knew about these attacks beforehand. They weren't in the least bit convinced about that. And I remember at the time, I came in quite late to the internet, and I was talking to a friend who was really into all this stuff, and my point was that, well, if they did do that, why is all this stuff on the internet? Why are they not shutting it down? And of course, he was saying, well, it's the internet, you can't censor the internet. Those were the days. But or at least, for example, why was Alex Jones becoming rich off the back of saying that the American government was committing mass murder on its own people? Why were the American government not in the least bit concerned about this? You would think that would be extremely destructive. Why wasn't Alex Jones, why didn't he have like a mysterious heart attack, or why wasn't there a sort of piano fell on his head or something, a quick car crash? None of it ever happened. The government didn't seem in the least bit concerned that its legitimacy and its power was being undermined in this way. And I think that it's very interesting to compare that. You fast forward the clock, you go to 2017, and you get Yvette Cooper holding a parliamentary committee where she's got the bosses of YouTube and Facebook and whatnot, and she's really given them a workout session because she's seen terms such as white genocide and the Great Replacement on the internet, and she finds this absolutely disgusting, and she is saying, you're going to have to get rid of this. You're going to have to get this off this platform as fast as possible. And of course, she's not the only one. There's senators, powerful organizations and lobby groups such as the Anti-Defamation League in America, and they too are absolutely demanding that this is a state of emergency. You've got to get this off. And so why, this is the thing, why is it that the Great Replacement is a controversial conspiracy theory, but to accuse the American government of mass murdering its own people isn't? Why is one deeply worrying for the authorities, for the elites, the system, and the other one not? And that's quite the mind bender, because it still comes down to the eroding the legitimacy of the centres of power. And I think one of the ways we have to look at that is to say, well, if Alex Jones was a shill in say the 9/11, and it was sort of half truths, but it was still being laid at the foot of the American government. Well, the difference is there's not really anywhere you can go after that, especially when sort of politically they were sort of libertarian. And their answer to the government being corrupt and having their own agenda and murdering their own citizens was effectively to disconnect yourself as much as possible from that centre of power. So, you know, it was a very sort of libertarian way of looking at the world, where you'd stack up the pickup with rifles and tinned fish and then move out to Idaho or wherever in America, and build yourself a bunker and see out the storm. Just hope that you don't get rolled up and put in a FEMA camp. And so from that perspective, the system, the centre of power, didn't have that much to worry about, because it seems if 29% or 22% of the population think the government is mass murdering the people, its own citizens on its own soil, there's not really anything the citizens could do about that. What is it they can do, especially if you've got this sort of patriotard libertarian way of looking at the world, where you're already distrustful of power, you're already distrustful of the establishment and how political power works. You're looking then to be free of that, rather than actually challenge it. So there's not, they must have been looking at it from the perspective of thinking, we don't care because you're not a threat. You can think whatever you want. That certainly seems to be the case. Now, where you get into something, let's say, the Great Replacement, this is an entirely different thing, because implicit in that, the only way that you can actually react to that is to challenge the system outright. And this is more what we see with populism in Europe. And so, because there's not really any escape, it's as if your card's been marked. And so populist nationalist movements in Europe are not looking to be free from the state. The shills of the 9/11 movement, let's say, in that way, they were directing the energy away from the state and saying, well, let's head off into the woods. Let's just disconnect from it. And sowing distrust of the government that way. Populist nationalist movements don't do that. Populist nationalist movements are taking energy and directing it straight at what the neo-reactionaries would call the cathedral. But in populist nationalism, that energy is directly straight towards the centre of power. And I don't just mean politics, also the media, and even more the financial institutions as well are starting to pop up more on the radar. And so from that perspective, the centre of power itself is looking out onto a populist revolution and seeing that they're sort of surrounded by this baying mob. And it's something like the Great Replacement is a sort of meme which they've adopted and ran with it. It's this way of looking at them, and it's put directly straight back into the center of power, into the cathedral, and from their point of view, this is much more dangerous. Because it undermines their entire narrative. Another thing is that there's not really any political correctness or cultural narratives around the 9/11 thing, the 9/11 World Trade Center attacks. It's mainly just raw power of the government, and there's nothing you can do about it. What we see with populism and nationalism is that also their narrative and their morality is being questioned, the political correctness is being undermined, and then they're heading, this is all coming from, they've recognized that it's all emanating from the same place, and they're going straight to that, which I think is a very interesting way of looking at it. Because, of course, the Alex Jones types, they were allowed to keep their platforms when they were talking about the 9/11 and the American government sort of and the conspiracy. But then when they sort of got swept along with the nationalist populist movement, and that changed the dynamic, because then they weren't, this is actually something that which a lot of people may disagree with, but they're not actually, in the overall scheme of things, they are directing people towards the centre of power. Not precisely. This is where people think they have to be more precise, and they have to explain explicitly exactly who or what within the power structure is the problem. And they didn't do it on 9/11. They misdirected people completely. And then they're not doing that here either, but they're still sending people in that general direction. And so from that point, unlike what happened with 9/11, where it was more of a sort of just disconnect yourself. And so from the perspective of the people inside the centre of power, from the system, in the citadel, then they've all of a sudden become a liability. Somebody like Paul Joseph Watson or Alex Jones or even Tommy Robinson are no longer sort of useful idiots. They're actually useful idiots on the other side, and they're directing people toward that base of power in a way that they didn't do with the 9/11 conspiracy stuff. And so then it becomes a matter of them being sort of generals on the opposing team, and they've got to be neutralised. They've just got to lose their platforms. And that's what's playing out now. And it's very interesting to see the change in the attitude. The idea that, well, if you say something like the American government murdered its own citizens, it doesn't really have any kind of repercussions. Nobody particularly cares that much. But if you say the Great Replacement is real, you're going to lose your platform. And to sort of wrap your head around the difference there, because both undermine, in theory, both are undermining the centre of power. In practice, that's not the case. In practice, the Great Replacement is much more dangerous, because you end up with a sort of mass rebellion which they don't want to have to deal with. So anyway, thank you very much for listening, and thanks for a lot for people who's been donating recently. It helps me out a lot. I've got more time to do content. See you later, folks.